We've all had the experience of missing something. When we miss something, we feel frustrated and are angry. But usually we handle it pretty well. If we miss the bus, we catch another one. If we miss an appointment, we make another one. If we miss a visitor, we go see him. If we miss a phone call, they'll probably call back. If you miss a meal, you can always eat later. All misses, however, are not as easy to correct as these. If you miss the April 15th deadline for filing your income taxes, there's usually a penalty that must be paid. If you miss a business deadline or payment deadline, there's usually a penalty to be paid. Sometimes a sick person who misses taking his medicine will suffer because of it. There are some spiritual implications in these thoughts. What if you miss heaven? What if you miss heaven? Think about that for a minute. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? What should you do if you miss heaven? You know, the Bible states that some are going to miss heaven. According to Jesus, not everyone will be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 assures us of this fact. Jesus, in his great Sermon on the Mount, at the end of that sermon, assures us that there are going to be some that are surprised by missing heaven. But before he gets to that, he makes sure that you know that there is a big, broad path leading to destruction that most people are going to be on. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. According to this text, there are some that are going to be surprise on the day of judgment. There will be many who thought they were right, but will be sorrowfully surprised by the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 needs to be viewed right here. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine yourselves. Who's going to know whether you're going to heaven except for you? You say, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Well, God has given the guide. Excuse me for just a moment. One of those days. God has given us the direction to heaven. We are the only one that know whether we've been on that direction or not, whether we have followed his instructions. We can only be the only ones that tell. So examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. What to do if you miss heaven? Sadly, many will die in sin. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, he says, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Many will die in sin. Many will be lost because they died in their sins. Some knew that they were in sin. Some did not know that they were in sin. But they will still be lost. They die in their sins. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 tells us about sin and the cost of it. Isaiah writes to a nation that is deeply entrenched in apostasy. This is right before they are taken into Assyrian captivity. The whole of the world, as Isaiah knew it, was under the boot heel of the Assyrians, and just that little bitty place called Jerusalem was left unconquered, and the city was surrounded. And the people wanted to know, has God left us? Has God abandoned us? But Isaiah tells them, it's your sin and your iniquity that has made it to where God can't even look at you. He's not changed. He's still able to save. He still wants to save. He's still able, but it's your sin that is separated between you and your God. Why are sinners separated from God? Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Habakkuk tells us about the attributes of God when he says this, "Thou art pure, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest man as the fishes of the sea, and as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Once again, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Canst not look on iniquity." This is why sinners are separated from God, because man sins. The scriptures tell that there are few that will go into heaven. Back to Matthew chapter 7, and reading from verses 13 and 14, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, once again, in that great Sermon on the Mount, that's a part of Scripture that is simply packed with instructions on how to live the Christian life. Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Picture it in your mind, a 1 mile wide line of people, 200,000 deep. You can imagine it as big as you want, because it's as big as the population of the planet. And they're headed over the horizon, and they're headed toward destruction. But in that line of people, there's a door that can be gone through if you go in the right way, under the right conditions. And the people that go in that door, directed by the door's owner, they go into salvation. The broad way leads to destruction. But only a few go in that door. Many can choose, but only a few will. We are headed toward destruction as a race. We are headed toward judgment. It is a fearful thing, and we have decisions to make. Most of the world does exactly what it wants. Most of the world does not see the commands of God. They have the least bit of concern for God's wishes and requirement. As John says, 1 John 5, verse 19, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's the condition. That is the status quo. Always has been, and I suppose until Jesus comes, always will be. Again, few will be going to heaven. Why will there be so many missing heaven? Lack of obedience. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." That word "author" has to do with the source of something. He is the source of eternal salvation to a certain class of people. That class of people does not go beyond the class that obeys him. We want to be saved. Obedience is part of our life. It is our life to do the will of the Father. There will be no salvation without obedience. Jesus was obedient, and we must be the same. Notice Revelation 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22 and verse 14. It is incumbent upon our Savior to, at the end of the Bible, at the end of this great book of hope for us, to tell us certain conditions that we will need to meet. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those that do His commandments. Sounds an awful lot like obedience, doesn't it? Obedience is a prerequisite to salvation. Many will miss heaven because they refuse to obey God. They like their own plan better than God's. Many are filled with pride. If you were to read Obadiah chapters 3 and 4, you'll find that a nation named Edom was filled with pride, and so were destroyed because of that. It's a major barrier that people have to get through in order to be on the way to heaven. Many are too proud to admit that they're wrong. Wrong? Me? Wrong? Can't possibly be, some would say. Many are caught up in themselves. Destruction was to come to Judah because of her pride, Zephaniah 2, verses 10 through 15. She said, I am, and there is none beside me. She was saying, like another sports hero, so to speak, of that passed away recently, I am the greatest. But Judah was nearly destroyed because of that pride. Notice with me James chapter 4 and verse 6. While we say that pride will cause many to miss heaven. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resisteth the proud. Imagine someone that is proud before God, wanting to go their own way and coming up to that narrow gate that we were talking about earlier. That narrow door that can only be gone through with the instructions of the owner. But that one in pride cannot humble himself in order to obey those instructions. Cannot go through the door. Pride keeps us from salvation. Many simply refuse to live faithfully. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Give diligence. It takes diligence to live the Christian life. It takes diligence to be on the path to heaven. We all are always to look to see whether we're on the path, whether we're in the faith. We will go to heaven if we do these things, he says. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. No such thing as that in the least. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off because of sin. Some people will miss heaven. Many people refuse to live faithfully. There's no way we can go to heaven unless we remain faithful unto the Lord. God is a God of severity to the unfaithful. Sin separates us from God. Unforgiven sin will cause us to miss heaven. James 1, verses 13 through 15. James 1, verses 13 through 15. We find here in the book of James that sin brings death. It brings separation from God. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What to do now if you miss heaven? I want you to start to think about some things. Start to think about how you will have no more opportunities to obey the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or comforted thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no more anyone to preach you the gospel when time is no more. That is the time. Today is the time of decision. Then is the time of judgment. Judgment and reward, or judgment and punishment. What do you do if you miss heaven? Think about how you'll have no more opportunities. The opportunities are gone. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. We have no record of Felix ever calling for him again. His time, his fate, his judgment was sealed. This is the time to answer God. This is the time to be faithful. Acts 26, verse 28. Acts 26, verse 28. And Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost? We sing the song, Almost Persuaded. And it ends with, Almost, but lost. Now is the time. Think of how your fate is now sealed, and eternity has begun. Think about all the times you rejected the invitation. Think about all the times you failed to let your light shine. Think about the trouble you caused the church or your family. Think about the trouble. Think about how you rejected passages such as John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. The love of God was rejected by the one who will not go to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Rejecting the love of God, his sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice ever made, one's own Son. Think about how you've rejected that. The words of Jesus in Luke 13, verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, that's the wrong one. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Think about how you rejected Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the pleas of Jesus in Revelation 2, verse 10, to a congregation that was undergoing persecution. Persecution to the death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Start to feel some things. The gnashing of your teeth. Matthew 25, verse 30. What does that represent? Certainly we can see that someone who is gnashing his teeth over something is exceedingly upset about it. Perhaps feeling regret over an action not done or done in haste. Gnashing of teeth sometimes represents pain, but always represents suffering and regret. The anguish that will be found in hell. Think about this. No rest. No rest. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. So many times we've been comforted by the words of the book of Revelation, but this is one of those places we can go to time and time again. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. No rest, day or night, forever. Your fate is sealed. You rejected the invitation. You've rejected the pleas of Jesus and his apostles. You start to feel the regret, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, the no rest. You feel pain, everlasting fire. I don't know if you've ever been burned. I have some cousins that were in a house fire, and the whole lives that they were covered with these burns. They were not pretty to look at, and you could only imagine the kind of pain that they went through in that situation. Pain that doesn't go away very soon. Pain that continues because of the damage that's done to the skin. Pain. You'll feel that you're in torment. You'll feel that you're in the place of the devil. You'll start to grope because you're in outer darkness. Have you ever been in a cavern where they turned off the lights? And in Texas, there's a place called Longhorn Cavern. It's a place that has a rich history. It was one time a speakeasy, and before that, it was a hideout for some of the outlaws of the land. And before that, they had council fires there with the Indian tribes. And the guide takes you down into the deepest part, and they turn off the lights. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And then when your eyes have adjusted to the darkness, they strike a match. One little match makes you so thankful that there is light in the world. Suddenly you can see everyone in the cave. You can see everyone in the cavern quite clearly from one little point of light. Darkness is what awaits those who do not obey. You'll start to grope because you're in outer darkness and there is no hope of getting out. There is nothing but frustration and pain for eternity. And then you start to share. Others will be there with you. Notice some of the people you'll share hell with. Revelation 21 and verse 8. The obedient, the disobedient will be here among these, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Quite a neighborhood, isn't it? Quite a shock of reality. All the good people that you knew in this lifetime, the ones that obeyed, they're not going to be there. The ones that you felt safe around, they're not going to be there. The ones who would taught you better, they're not going to be there. But the ones that disobeyed, the ones that you didn't feel comfortable around, didn't feel safe around, didn't trust, they're going to be there. These will be your eternal neighbors. Eternity is a long time. How can you describe eternity? I think when we go through commercials on the television set, we say, oh, this is taking a long time. I want to get back to the show, and they want to sell me things I have no interest in at all. It's kind of like that Jeopardy theme song. It's horrible. But think about eternity in actuality. You can't really know how long eternity is because there is no time in that realm. But someone described it like this. I don't know if you have a concept of how big an oil tanker is, but if you were to see one out on the sea and whatever pleasure boat that you might have, it's enormous. Enormous. You could fit small towns, sometimes big towns, within the confines of an oil tanker. Fill it up with BBs. Make sure there's enough fuel to go around the earth forever. And every time you go around the earth, drop one BB into the ocean. And when that oil tanker is empty, eternity has just begun. Imagine how long it would be in earth years to go around the earth and drop one BB off every revolution. That would be a long, long time. But eternity has only begun. And where will you be in eternity if you do not obey? There's no positive thing that you can do. The only thing there is regret. It's all over. It's too late. The only thing you can do is review all the times when you knew what to do, you knew what was right, and you didn't do it. If you miss heaven, there's not anything that you can do to correct it. Think about it. No more hope. In New York State, there's a prison. A prison that has this banner over it as you enter, as a prisoner. Those that enter in here, abandon all hope. I think it's a quote from an old English author. Abandon all hope. I have some good news for you, though. You don't have to miss heaven. You, right now, have the opportunity to obey the gospel. Those of you who have obeyed the gospel, but have fallen from the good way, you have the opportunity right now, to turn over a new leaf. The Bible tells us that if we do not want to miss heaven, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8, verse 24. We must repent of our past sins. Luke 13, verse 3. We must confess publicly the name of Christ. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Mark 16, verse 16. Acts 2, verse 38. And then we must remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. What will happen if you miss heaven? You'll be eternally lost. You'll be eternally punished. What can you do if you miss heaven? Listen close. Here it is. You can suffer. That's all you can do. There may be some here today that realize that your life is not in the place where you need it to be. That if you were to approach that narrow gate, you would not be able to get in. Whether because of pride or whether because of disobedience or some other rebellious thing that you live in your life, I don't know those things, but you do. And you can get out of it. You can stop whatever it is. You can ask God for forgiveness. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins, whatever the situation might be. And we are here this very hour to assist you in doing that. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you please come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.